Trend number 7, building a productivity-optimizing workplace. As we pointed out in our May 2011 issue, the driving force behind the economy's growth has been productivity. In fact, gains in productivity have generated 80% of total GDP growth in recent years, more than double the 35% that productivity contributed to GDP in the 1970s. Much of this recent improvement is due to automation and to leaner workforces. Because of the recession, companies in nearly every industry were forced to get more work done with fewer people. But with payrolls already cut to the marrow, the smartest employers are now turning their attention to the most promising way to keep increasing productivity. They are designing office environments that enhance the ability of their knowledge workers to perform at their best. Some of these changes affect the physical environment of the workplace. Others focus on the psychological environment in which people work. Several new research studies point to a direct link between revamped workplaces and productivity. For example, researchers from the University of Exeter in the United Kingdom found that employees who are allowed to personalize the design and layout of their workspace are up to 32% more productive. This runs counter to the conventional approach of enforcing a standardized working environment. As reported in the British Journal of Management and in the Journal of Experimental Psychology, Applied, the research involved more than 2,000 office workers in a series of studies that focused on the employees' attitudes about their working space, as well as their productivity. Using surveys, the researchers assessed the level of control workers had over their space, ranging from none at all to being fully consulted over design changes. The results showed that the more control people had over their office spaces, the more motivated they were in their jobs. But the researchers didn't stop there. They designed two further studies, one at the university and another in commercial offices, which measured how productive workers were under various conditions. Specifically, they required participants to perform a series of tasks in one of four types of workspaces. One, a lean workspace, which was bare and functional. Two, an enriched workspace that was decorated with plants and pictures. Three, an empowered workspace, which the individual was allowed to design himself. Or four, a disempowered workspace, where the individual's design was redesigned by a researcher who acted in the role of a manager. The researchers found that the people working in enriched spaces were 17% more productive than those in lean spaces. But the biggest impact on productivity occurred when people were given the freedom to personalize their work areas. The people in this empowered group were 32% more productive than people in the lean workspaces, without any increase in errors. Professor Alex Haslam, who co-authored the research, concludes that giving employees a sense of autonomy over their working environment can boost an organization's productivity at minimal cost. Other studies support this conclusion. According to an extensive literature review published in a new book on workplace autonomy called Human Autonomy in Cross-Cultural Context, workers who feel they have autonomy are more productive. The book's co-authors are professors Marilyne Gagné and Davashish Bahave from Concordia University's John Molson School of Business. They define autonomy as the ability of workers to make choices in the workplace and to be accountable for them. As Gagné explains, autonomy is especially likely to lead to better productivity when the work is complex or requires more creativity. In a very routine job, autonomy doesn't have much impact on productivity, but it can still increase satisfaction, which leads to other positive outcomes. When management makes decisions about how to organize work, they should always think about the effect on people's autonomy. Complex, creative work is exactly the type of work performed by knowledge workers. To improve their productivity, Gagné suggests letting employees set their own schedules, choose how to do their work, or work from home. When people feel they have latitude, she says, the results are impressive. Potential benefits include greater employee commitment, better performance, lower turnover, and improved productivity. Best Buy is one company that is giving its employees more control over their work environments, as well as their schedules. The company implemented its Results Only Work Environment, or ROW, program in 2005, but it has only now been able to measure the impact of this program. University of Minnesota professors Aaron Kelly and Phyllis Moen surveyed more than 600 employees and analyzed data from before and after the ROE initiative began. Under ROE, employees and managers were told to focus only on producing measurable results. Following a set work schedule or working at a particular location became secondary. This means that employees can routinely change when and where they work, without seeking permission from a manager or even notifying one. Moen and Kelly found that ROE reduced family work conflicts and improved job satisfaction. While this outcome clearly benefits employees, the company gains an advantage as well. The researchers found that ROE reduced turnover by 45%. Specifically, only 6% of ROE participants left the company during the 8-month study period, while 11% of the comparison group left. Because other research, reported in MIT Sloan Management Review, has found that the cost of hiring and training a new worker can be 150% of the cost of the departing employee's salary, cutting turnover translates directly into higher productivity and greater profitability. The ultimate freedom to design one's own work environment is the ability to work remotely from home, or even from a table at Starbucks. A new study shows that teleworkers are more satisfied with their jobs compared to those working mostly in the office because working remotely alleviates more stress than it creates. Professors Catherine Foner of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and Michael Roloff of Northwestern University compared the advantages and disadvantages of each work arrangement. Their results, which appeared recently in the Journal of Applied Communication Research, show that teleworkers enjoy less work-life conflict, as well as an escape from the distracting and stressful aspects of the workplace, such as interruptions and office politics. Because they are free to focus on their work, teleworkers report higher job satisfaction. Presumably, they also get more work done without the distractions of office gossip, coworkers' birthday parties, and constant meetings. Autonomy is an important element of employee well-being. When employees feel a sense of control over their workspace, their attitudes about their work and their employer improve. The importance of employees' positive perceptions is driven home by the results of another study, reported in Perspectives on Psychological Science, a journal of the Association for Psychological Science. Psychologist James K. Harter of Gallup Incorporated and his colleagues found that employee perceptions of work conditions actually have a big influence on a company's bottom line. Harter's team analyzed the relationships among data from more than 2,000 business units, such as retail stores, factories, and sales offices from 10 companies. The data consisted of employee satisfaction surveys, employee retention rates, customer loyalty, and financial performance of the organizations. The researchers found that if employees have positive perceptions of their jobs, their organizations benefit via higher employee retention, increased customer loyalty, and improved financial outcomes. Harter and his colleagues suggest that managers can improve workers' performance if they clarify expectations for employees by helping them see the ultimate outcomes the organization is working to achieve, and how they play a role in achieving those outcomes. This link between employees' attitudes and their performance may seem obvious, but the fact is that in many workplaces it isn't given the attention it deserves. Too many managers believe, "I don't care if my people are happy, I just want them to do good work." Until now, there has been no way to quantify the effect of employee morale on organizational performance. So, it was easy to dismiss any potential benefit from letting knowledge workers control their working environment. Now, however, a professor of management at Kansas State University has quantified that relationship. Thomas Wright, whose work has appeared in several journals on management and organizational psychology, contends that, simply put, psychologically well employees are better performers. Since higher employee performance is inextricably tied to an organization's bottom line, employee well-being can play a key role in establishing a competitive advantage. According to Wright, studies have shown that after controlling for age, gender, ethnicity, job tenure, and educational attainment level, psychological well-being still is significantly related to job performance. Moreover, he found that psychologically well employees consistently exhibit higher job performance, with significant correlation in the 0.3 to 0.5 range. These findings are statistically significant. A correlation of 0.3 between well-being and performance indicates that roughly 10% of the variance in job performance is associated with differences in well-being, while a correlation of 0.5 points to a substantial 25% of the variance. In some of Wright's academic and consulting work, he has used a form of utility analysis to determine the level of actual savings tied to employee well-being. For example, in a sample of management personnel with average salaries in the $65,000 range, he found that being psychologically distressed could cost the organization roughly $75 a week per person in lost productivity. With 10 employees, that translates to $750 per week in performance variance. For 100 employees, the numbers are $7,500 per week, or $390,000 per year. Based on this trend, consider these three forecasts. First, expect a gradual shift away from monotonous cubicle farms and other standardized workplaces and toward office environments that give knowledge workers more freedom to design spaces in which they can maximize their productivity. Given the low cost and high ROI from such changes that researchers have established, employers will increasingly cede control of workplace design as long as the results continue to be positive. Don't expect the outrageous environments of the dot-com era, however. The typical corporate office will begin to look more like an advertising agency or an innovation design firm like IDEO, where professionals are encouraged to express their individuality and to decorate their workspaces with toys, games, puzzles, artwork, or other props that inspire them to think more creatively and to work more productively. Second, employers will also increasingly move toward flexible schedules, programs similar to Row and telework. While managers have traditionally been hesitant to let employees control where and when they work, the research that is piling up clearly shows that the fear that workers will slack off without a supervisor looking over their shoulders is unfounded. Too many studies are now linking employee autonomy to higher productivity for such an assumption to persist. Instead, bosses will allow employees to supervise themselves, provided they keep increasing their productivity. Employers will also benefit from lower costs for office rent, furniture, electricity, parking lots, and all of the other expenses that accrue from keeping the entire workforce on site 5 days a week. And third, managers will need to be aware of cultural differences when they allow employees to take control of their work environments. Whether in offshore facilities or in American offices with a culturally diverse workforce, important differences exist in employees' perceptions about autonomy. Gagné, the co-author of Human Autonomy in Cross-Cultural Context, explains managers can't simply export North American methods of granting autonomy everywhere and expect them to work. Even in Canada, approaches to giving workers more autonomy need to be constantly rethought as the country becomes more multicultural. For example, employees who were raised in other cultures may view a supervisor who allows people to control their own workspaces as disorganized, or a boss who asks subordinates for their opinions may be viewed as a weak manager. In these cases, companies will need to invest in training programs to help bosses master other ways to make employees feel autonomous.
Thank you for joining us this month to explore the latest trends and the ways in which they will impact your business, your career, and your life. All of us here at Trends invite you back next month when we will focus on more of the trends that are now emerging to shape your future.